With a passion for truth and a calling to serve the church, our last speaker has devoted the past 30 years to faithfully teaching the Bible. The church he pastors ministers to over 10,000 people every Sunday and millions worldwide through media outreach programs. He is an author, a teacher, a pastor, as well as a servant. Please welcome to the stage, Pastor Jack Hibbs.
All right. How are you? Oh, my goodness. You guys, so rumor has it this is your first prophecy conference, is that right? It doesn't look like it. You guys have nailed it. I was sitting back there, I've been sitting down there all morning over to that corner and just texting everybody I know. I was texting Jan Markell and Amira Sarfati and Daniel Cohen in Jerusalem regarding our Real Life Network that's based, our news department is based in Jerusalem. If you don't know everybody, on your device, you can go to your app store and sign up for free the Real Life Network. And it's free. Listen, it's free for you, and it's the only network that's out there that's free for the broadcasters. There's no charge. And the reason why is God provided so much for us during COVID that we responded to our being canceled all the time. We were canceled in the U.S. We were canceled on Facebook. We were canceled on YouTube. We got canceled in England and Canada and Germany and Britain, that we just said, forget all that stuff. How do we do this without getting canceled? And so God gave us the means to create our own network. And 24/7, 365, you can hear teachers from Billy Graham all the way up to Pastor Kirk and to Pastor Mark Kirk and everything in between. News, that's building. That department is building tremendously. And you really need it. You really want to get it. You want to have it. And no one's going to ask you for money. It's provided by God, and it's been amazing. Listen, real quick, church family, going to ask you to get your phone up for the notes for today. Can you do that? This is how it's going to work. Hold your phone up. Put it in the photo mode. Photo. Can you scan that? And all of my notes will go onto your phone in an instant. And what's fun about this is that what I don't get to today, you'll have in detail. So that's kind of fun, and it helps a lot. Father, we pray right now today, Lord God, that if you came back right now, everything's fine with us. What a great day this has been. And Father, we pray that as we get ready, close to wrapping up this conference, that Father, we would all go away as a people, remembering that in Revelation 19, verse 10, which I believe puts a smile on your face today, is that the spirit of prophecy, that is Jesus Christ. He himself is the spirit of prophecy. And there's a lot of religious writings out there in the world, but there's only one way to validate if it's true or false, because someone can only be right. There are the various religions. There's Islam and there's the isms in the world. But there's only one that is right. And how do we know that we have the truth? How do we know that we're right in what we believe? Is a good question. So, Father God, we thank you that that proof is found in Bible prophecy. Period. Bible prophecy. We thank you for the New Testament, but we would never know that it's a valid New Testament without the Old Testament prophecies. So, Father God, open up our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, you guys, first of all, have you said hi to each other? Can you stand and greet one another right now? Do it quick, but say hi. Let's do something crazy. Can you want to do something crazy? Okay, let's try this. I've never done this before. Let's all stand. And be really quiet. And then when I turn around, go crazy. Are you ready? We're going to go Facebook Live. This is the first time your face will be seen by 1.4 million people at one time. All right? Hang on. Wait a minute. Okay, it's loading. Do we have a signal? Okay, I think so. We'll see what happens. Hey, everybody. God bless you guys wherever you're at in the world. And I want to thank you, by the way, for joining me this morning at 5 a.m. Keep spreading the word for the 5 a.m. prayer meetings. That's 5 a.m. on Pacific time. But right now, I just happen to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. And, Wow. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. They have all come to hear the word of God. So I wanted them to say hi to this family online. God bless you guys. And you can all be seated. You too. God bless you. That's great. That's great. That's awesome. Would you grab your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in our study as we wrap this up. And Thessalonians is a tremendous book. There's two of them written by the Apostle Paul, 1st and 2nd. Predominantly, when you're taking notes, if you care to write this down, 1 Thessalonians is about Paul, the Apostle's visit to Thessalonica. That being his first visit, he was only there, we're told by scholars, anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks. And in that 3 to 4 week period of time, Paul the Apostle, under the possession of the Holy Spirit, thought it was wise to teach them two key doctrines. One of them is their relationship with Christ by God's grace. And the second one was the rapture of the church. In all of the five chapters, 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks about the rapture, not the second coming, the rapture of the church. All five chapters have one verse, at least, that speaks to the Thessalonian believer that they need to be ready and excited because the believer will not see the wrath of God here on earth. The wrath of God has nothing to do with the word hell. The wrath of God has everything to do with God's judgment, wrath, and indignation on earth. Everybody get that right. Because many of you come from denominations, they don't teach this. And it's a shame, because I think it was Pastor Mark this morning pointed out, and I'm so proud of him for doing that. By the way, can we give Pastor Mark and his team a thanks for this? Great vision. Great vision. He pointed out that he had you grab your Bibles, and 33% of your Bible is Bible prophecy. Who in the world would go to a church and you ask the pastor, I'm visiting, trying to find a church. Do you guys teach the Bible? Yep. We teach all of the Bible except 33% of it. We don't teach that. You wouldn't even go to that church again. You want the whole counsel of God. And so just I'll read. Follow along with me if you would. Verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. But you, notice the contrast, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God, look at verse 9, here it comes. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to attain salvation or deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, that is live or die, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort one another and edify each other, just as I also see you doing or hear you doing. And so, church, we're going to go through these. I'm going to ask you to take notes. And I need, look, are you tired? You had lunch, right? All of your juices are flowing. And so I'm going to, so did I, by the way. So I'm about ready to go to sleep. I've been up since 2 o'clock your time this morning. I don't know what's wrong with me. Do you know what time that is in L.A.? People are still having dinner at that time. I'm tired, I'm sleepy, so I need help from you. I need you to keep me awake. All right? So if you fall asleep, I'm going to call you out. Because I don't want you to miss the rapture or anything. You know, not as the, you know, those that are sleeping. So number one, jot it down. Write small in your notes, please. Write it down. Number one is this. Here's the title. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That's the title. Can you believe it? Don't your friends say that? Can you believe it? Believe what? And then they fill in the details. Can you believe it? And they fill in the details, right? So can you believe it? The answer is absolutely yes. And here's the reason why. Number one, write it down. Can you believe it? We're living in the last days, and we are God's generation for this particular time. Do I believe that Jesus could come back at any moment? Yes. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Is it possible he doesn't come back for 50 years? It's possible, but let's be honest. If he doesn't come back soon, it ain't going to be a surprise. Things are wacky in the world, everybody. But here's the cool thing for us as believers. Everything's falling right into place. Oh my goodness, the world's falling apart. Oh, calm down. No, it's not. It's falling right into place. We're the only ones that have hope because we see what's going on. We understand any day now, any time. And number one is this, church, write it down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Can you believe it? We can sense that something's up. Say amen to that. Amen. We can sense that something's up. Now, this is not on my notes. Pastor Mark asked me to mention it and then be on with it. I have been completely blown away with what has happened in our nation in the last several weeks. Technically, it's been longer than that. I know that Calvary Chapel Knoxville joined with Calvary Chapel, or we joined with you guys, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and we fasted and prayed for 40 days leading up to the election. I'm sorry, but you got to remember, I come from the land of Newsom. And it's not easy living in the realm of Lord Newsom. And you got to remember, during COVID, you know, we were going to get arrested. We had our church open. We were in total violation and all of these warnings. I'd get letters from him every week that we're going to shut you down. And then, you know what? This is awesome because we're supposed to do righteousness. And when you preach the Bible, people get saved. It wasn't my fault that our mayor got saved. It wasn't my fault that several members of the city council got saved. It's not my fault that the police chief got saved. It's not my fault that there were a couple of people on the county board of supervisors that were already born again believers, so that when I got my first note from Newsom, shut her down, Jack, I sent it over to the powers that be, and they said, we'll take it from here. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So, all of that to say, stuff's been going amazing in California. Those of you who moved, you moved a little too soon. No, listen, to move to Tennessee, I get it. But California's changing. The latest election results have been absolutely stunning. But here's my point to what I'm saying. They're closing in California from top to bottom, statewide. They're closing abortion clinics. They can't keep them open. They can't keep them open. City council, mayors, school board members. Listen, God may not have sent COVID, but God used it and caused parents to see what was going on in their kids' classrooms. And now parents run the school boards. And from in the city of Huntington Beach, California, in the recent election, all seven of the city board, the city council, are believers. All of them are believers. Four of them happened to go to a Calvary Chapel. Something's going on. And here's the thing that Pastor Mark wanted me to share. If you, and I encourage you to do this, look up King Josiah. Don't believe a word I'm going to tell you right now. Look up King Josiah and look, go to First Chronicles, First or Second Chronicles, it doesn't matter. It's chapters 34 and 35, and read what King Josiah did, and look what Trump's doing. I don't care what your opinion is of Trump, forget about it. Forget about the tweets, forget about all that stuff. King Josiah, when he was installed by God to reform Israel, do you know what the first thing he did was? He immediately stopped child sacrifice, King Josiah. Second thing he did is that he secured Judah's borders. The third thing that he did is that he removed all those of corruption. He threw them out. He had them physically thrown out. The fourth thing is he set up watchmen on the walls of Judah to make sure the people were safe. God then put a fear in all of the surrounding nations of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because King Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, Donald Trump, whatever your opinion is, you cannot deny this. He is doing what's right in the eyes of God. And so look at the parallels. The parallels are shocking. I'm grateful I have access to President Trump, but I guarantee you, he doesn't see the correlation. I don't care if he sees it or not. We do. We do. So listen, you need to see that. You need to watch that. So he says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, notice this. You have no need that I should write to you. We can sense that something's up. Inside the believer, you and I, the Holy Spirit is saying, something's up. And we don't know what that is, but something's up. I'm not saying it's political. It could be. It could be a lot. It could be that God heard our prayers because I got to tell you, in California, I was completely convinced. I'm honest with you. I was completely convinced that Kamala Harris was going to win the presidency. 100%. You say, Jack, you never said that online. Of course not. I didn't want to discourage anybody or cause anybody to commit suicide. I was convinced. You want to know why? God gives people, nations, leaders they deserve. But God's people prayed. God's people fasted. God's people cried out. And then that wasn't enough. God's people got out and voted. And what happened was God pressed pause. Judgment's coming to America, no doubt about it. But it was our Nineveh moment. God pressed pause because he heard your cry and he put a pause. And for 2 to 4 years, you know, 2 years, there's the midterms and 4 years is the general. God has given you and I as the believer. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. You know it. Don't go along with the flow. If you're a Christian, God gave you and I 2 to 4 more years of religious freedom to win as many men and women and boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. Church, you can't blow it. We cannot blow it. We've got to share the Lord. And what does that mean? We can sense time is short. And I don't know if that's because I'm 67, time short. I don't think so. I think something's up because we've got, as Jeff and Todd shared, over 1,000 of our youth participated in a multi-day youth conference for prophecy. It was the first time it's ever been done like that. And the youth packed out because guess what? They believe time is short. That's a good thing. But notice this, we need to be discerning, everybody. Number one, we need to be discerning. The sense of something's up should cause us to be discerning. Write it down, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. For from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men, here it is, understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. That's you and I. If you raised your hand as a Christian, you've heard all today about the validity of the Bible, and God has awakened those who are watching to the canary in the cage, if I can put it that way, the nation of Israel. You've heard about that all day. Somebody back where I was sitting said, why is everybody talking about Israel? Israel is the announcement. For the first time in human history, the church and Israel are on planet Earth at the same time. Think about that. First time in 2,000 years. And we look around the world and we see nations being moved, things happening. And we watch what's taking place with Bible open. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are any of you woodworkers in here? I never get this right. Remember Geppetto? My mind thinks like this. Remember Geppetto's wood shop? Okay, I think it's called the planer. A plane. So when you're scraping wood, like you can have a log, and if you keep doing this, it curls up in little dust or curls, and they fall off on the floor, and they keep doing it until that log becomes a toothpick? See that word? That word in the Greek means perilous times. Listen, cheer up. It means that we're going to be living in days where evil is attempting to wear you down. And if you, listen, you got it good here. You want to come back to California with me and fight? You know what's great about California? You're either a believer or you're not. There's no gray zone anymore. No gray zone, no place to hide. And I love it. You can taste blood in your mouth if you know what I mean. It's like, man, it's awesome to be a Christian in California. It's incredible. Everybody hates us for everything. No, that's a good thing. Jesus said, if you follow me, you're going to be hated. So, I mean, if you're hated because you're a lunatic, that's another thing. You know, if you're obnoxious, then okay. But if you're standing up and saying, no, nope, baby's got a right to be born, and people hate you for that, that's a good thing. That's a good day. But the age in which we live in, he goes on to tell us, by the way, let's look at verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Glad that doesn't happen. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here's the trickaroo, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. And you know what that means? Verse 5 means they go to church on Sunday. All those crazies in that passage I just read, you can find them on church on Sunday. Complete frauds. And it's one of the warnings of the last days. We live in perilous times. And when God tells us in advance, then I'm cheerful. It'd be another story if we didn't have any hope. We sense something. You got to ask yourself, have you been sensing something? Look, you guys, we don't do this where I'm from. But the other night, I just landed, got to bed, and I just fell asleep. And my phone went off crazy. Brrrr! Alert, alert, take shelter, find a basement. Did anybody have that happen to them? And I'm, what is this? And me being from California, I took my phone, I went outside. I'm not kidding. I took up my camera. What's the deal? What's the deal? And then the whole sky lit up. Lightning and thunder and all this stuff, and I was videoing for my wife, Lisa, look, there's lightning and thunder here. It's real. We're not at Disneyland. It's really happening. I got the alert. Then it came. I didn't understand the danger I was in. But people are getting the alert. Things are coming. And it's for us to take shelter in Jesus, not in fear, not in any kind of other thing. Have we not learned our lesson after COVID? How embarrassing are we? No more fear. That was ridiculous. We are going to trust Christ. Listen, if we're afraid of a virus, we should be petrified over sin. Imagine if the church feared sin as much as it feared a virus. Could you imagine? You know what would happen? Revival. That's what would happen. Anyway, I'm not picking on any COVID people. I'm just saying. We'll forgive you this time. Any more viruses? No way. Number 2, jot it down. Can you believe it? We can know what others refuse to know. Can you believe that? Look at verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly, wow, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Have you had any unsuspecting Christian tell you, well, you know, I don't go to Bible prophecy conferences and I don't read prophecy books because, you know, Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. Well, maybe for you. It says here that you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So now we have a question. If we can know what others refuse, shouldn't it say? Shouldn't we know this? That's quite an elaborate and bold statement. You yourselves know. The word in Greek means you experientially know and you intuitively know. You know. God is telling the believer today, you know something's up and you know something that others refuse to know. It's available for them to know, but they won't know it. They refuse to know it. John chapter 8, verse 42. Are we okay? Am I yelling at you? If I'm not yelling at you, I'm not doing it right. John 8, 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, oh, let me back up. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious hierarchy of the day. They got all these robes. They got these hats and all of this stuff. They're the scribes and Pharisees to lead the nation of Israel into truth. And Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Then he answers, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Isn't Jesus so subtle here? It's amazing. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and a father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. They had the truth standing in front of them. Well, if I could just meet Jesus, I would believe. Apparently not. John chapter 10, verse 25. I love this. John 10, 25. Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I love that verse. You know what? Yeah, we have a big church back home. You know what's fun about it? I'm not kidding. For those of you who used to attend, because you moved to Tennessee, that's okay. Kingdom of God spreading. You don't know it, but we consider you missionaries. I never had to worry about somebody making a decision for Jesus as long as I stuck to the Bible. If I stuck to the Bible, people are going to make a decision for Christ. We don't say, well, you know, come forward. If you have come forward. If you're wearing a blue shirt, come forward. Come forward. No, you don't do that stuff, man. Just give the Bible. And if one person or 100 people come forward or raise their hand to accept Christ, it means that in the giving of the word, his sheep heard his voice. Not my voice. They heard his voice and they responded to him. Is that beautiful? You don't have to sweat about it. He calls his people. There was a time in your life when Jesus called you into his family. Do you remember that time? What about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2? For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Before we move into point number 3, I want to give you this warning right now. Jesus warned in the parables in Matthew 13, when he talked about the soil and the heart. He said in one of those descriptions, he said, there are those who receive the word of God and with gladness, but over time, we don't know what time, we don't know. Is it an hour, a month, or 50 years? We don't know. Listen, he said, over time, they give up and they go back into the world. These are they, Jesus said, who believe for a while. Were they born again? Nope. Were they saved and they lost their salvation? Nope. They only believed for a while. Watch this, don't ever forget it. You can say right now that you and I believe in George Washington. And we do. We never met him, but I've been to his house. I've read his books. It's enough evidence to know George Washington was really a real guy. I believe in him, but am I trusting George Washington to be an American? Do I go through customs and say, I believe in George Washington, and then they let me into my country? No. I believe in Washington like you do, but you and I do not have faith in Washington, do we? We don't need to. You can believe in Jesus. Oh, I hope this shakes some of you up into the kingdom of God, I pray. You can say you believe in God. You can say that you believe in Jesus. But has your belief ever driven you, like in a car, to faith? There's a great difference. You can say you believe, But trials and difficulties and times like these prove your belief that it's in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? And don't listen. I think Jeff mentioned Oprah today, the gospel according to Oprah. Just believe. Have faith in faith. Have you ever heard this kind of craziness before? Just have enough faith. When somebody says have enough faith, just have faith in faith. Are you crazy? Did you know that faith is that vehicle that takes you to the object? Don't have faith in faith. Well, brother, if you just have enough faith, you'll never get sick. That's insane. Where's that in the Bible? If you have enough faith, you'll be a millionaire overnight. Just send me that $100 bill. Tear off that one little corner. You keep the little part. Make sure you send me the big part. And just have faith and you'll be a millionaire overnight. Really? How about I send you the little part and see how much faith you've got, Mr. TV man? I've always said that to the TV, but he's never heard me. No, listen, make sure in this house today, right now, that your belief has taken you down the road of faith and that you rest in Jesus. You rest in him for your salvation. If you're saying, well, I'm resting in Jesus, but I'm also a deacon at my church, and he's going to, wrong answer. Well, I'm resting in Jesus, but I'm the best citizen in my little town. Nope. It's faith in him plus zip. Nothing. You don't add anything to your salvation. But because you are saved, the evidence of the Holy Spirit will exude out of you the fruit of the Spirit. It's amazing. It's awesome. Number three, can you believe it? We can rejoice that we're not with them. This is a tough one. Hang on to your seats. It says this to us. Verse 3 says, for when they say peace and safety, you ought to circle the word they and them. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. You are not them. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard so much about Israel today. Did you know that Jesus loves Israel? How can you be professing to be a believer and not be a lover of Israel when the Holy Spirit who's inside the believer loves Israel? If there's a Christian who says they don't love Israel and they don't want to bless the Jew and they've got all their natural reasons why, I don't know how they can say that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit would never say such a thing. That doesn't mean the Jews do everything right. I've got a bunch of Jewish friends. They're the most fun people, though, to be with, because it's never a dull moment. Three of us can be together, and we'll have 10 different opinions about something. They're so much fun. But they're stubborn. God said, and you heard it today in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God said, don't think I picked the Jewish people because they're wonderful. He said, I picked them because they're stubborn. You know what that translates into? If God can save a Jew, he can save a you. They're hard-hearted people. They're stubborn. But man, let me tell you, when they get converted, I got to tell you, man, our church is not far from L.A. On October 7th, 2023, that was a Saturday. On Sunday morning, Jews flocked to our church. There were Jews getting saved. And they don't mess around. They got saved, and then they're saying, what do I do next? I mean, they just came. We didn't have to ask them. They got saved, and they said, what do I do next? Show me where to point me in the right direction, Pastor. And that's been going on. God is moving. Why? Because, listen, Christ is coming back. We're running out of time, happily. But when they say, the unbelievers of the world say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. They're not going to escape. All right, are you ready? Here it comes. Luke 21, beginning at verse 34. This conference is about you and I being escape artists. I knew it. Well, maybe not. Watch this. But take heed to yourselves, Jesus says, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come upon you unexpectedly. Why? Because you're so distracted. For it will come... as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to, what's the word? Escape all these things but that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Did you guys all get that? All this stuff's coming. Pray and be ready. Be so reminded. Have your faith engaged. Be busy about your Father's business. Be looking up at the same time. Plan for life. Have babies. Any young people in here? Have a bunch of babies. Have a bunch of babies. You say, well, yeah, but isn't it the end of the world? Have babies. Live your life. Go to college or maybe not. Get smart in some other way. You know what I'm saying? Live your life. Live your life boldly. Live your life in Christ. Do the right thing. Work hard at your job. Seek a promotion. All of that's fantastic. We're to occupy. Are you hearing me? Occupy till he comes. But he could come back at any time. But live it full out for Jesus. And let him interrupt us doing the right thing. Let us get caught doing our Father's business when he comes. But know this. When God's wrath gets ready to be poured out on earth, you will escape it. You cannot receive any of it. Because God's wrath that's coming upon the earth is because of the sins of the world. Excuse me, hello? I woke up to that reality on June 20th, 1977, at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, just before 9 p.m. on a Monday night. I got saved. And it was made very clear to me that Christ took all of my sin and all of the penalty of hell and death upon himself at the cross. And the Bible says that if we believe in him, we've passed from judgment to life. I hope you can say the same thing. The Bible says in Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant when his master made him ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him doing. That's the word. Live your life. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But, listen up everyone, big warning here. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Have you ever heard somebody say they believe in Jesus, but they say things like, I don't think he can come back for a while. I just break out the garlic and a crucifix and shine it on him. I say, dude, man, you're in the Bible. You know that? The Bible talks about you. What are you doing? What do you mean? The Bible talks about people in the last days saying, I think the Lord's coming back later on. You know why that's not good? Because you get sloppy. You get sloppy. Verse 49, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him at in an hour that he is not aware of. Why do you think the Bible says this? Because the Bible tells us we can be ready. Are you ready? Number 4, can you believe it? We can see even in the dark. We can see even in the dark. That's amazing. I went up, blessed to fly from time to time with LAPD and their helicopter, and it's just, it's the Wild West, man. And they have night vision. They have everything. And man, you can see there's a guy robs a liquor store, climbs up in a tree, he's hiding out. Nobody can find him. Police dogs running by. This guy thinks he's getting away. And then we come flying over. And then the officer turns on the infrared or the night vision. Oh, there he is. That guy's like 20 feet up in that tree right there. You can see him. He's glowing in the dark. Seriously, he's as white as snow. And then the TFO will say, yeah, he's right there in 5th and Elm, and he's about 20 foot up in that sycamore tree right there. You can see in the dark. If man can see in the dark with technology, can't the Holy Spirit see at all time, the Spirit of God that lives in you? And he's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you things. And we can even see in the dark because of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Wow. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. Did y'all get that? Did you listen? Oh, did you hear what I just said? I said, did y'all get that? I thought you would have appreciated that. Um. notice all of a sudden there's the difference between us and them. We can see in the dark, they can't. They think everything's wonderful in this world. They think everything's great. They think weird thoughts. Well, you know, it's a woman's right to choose. Listen, of course it is. Did you know technically, you know God's pro-choice. Did you know that? Let me give you the details. God wants you to choose. Choose, just choose. God says choose. Choose today whom you'll serve. Joshua 24:15. Did he not say that? Choose. Here's what the world doesn't want to hear. Psst, fine print. Just know this. You're responsible for your choices. So, a woman has a right to choose because we are created in the image of God. A woman can choose whatever she wants to do. And when a man says, hey, baby, how you doing? You know, you a thief because I think you've stolen my heart. She knows right then and there, this could not go good. Ladies, listen, forget the men are in here. This is for you. Watch out for these guys. If you're young, watch out. Because, listen, a choice. You would never go over there and lick the wall socket, would you? Why would you do that? Because you know something could happen. Listen, if you meet a guy, something could happen. Watch out. Make a choice. But after you make your choice, the results are what they are. You either survived or you're pregnant. And he takes off. He's gone. He's gone. And now you have this baby, and your family's putting pressure on you, or you are putting pressure on you, and you're scared. And this nutty culture of ours says, well, my body, my choice. I promise you, the person who invented that got a D in biology. Because you know what? We're not animals. We've been created in the image of God. The moment conception takes place, the explosion of information is greater than the interstellar universe and beyond. The clusters of universes, the word language of the human DNA in the moment of impregnation, conception, the technology is so huge, nobody even knows how huge it is yet. It's so amazing. Because a living sperm collided with a living egg, and the whole thing was living, and it created life. And the moment that collision took place, it was someone else's body. And the miracle of pregnancy is amazing. There is a woman who's going to double the volume of her blood. She's turned into an actual pharmaceutical plant. She's creating all kinds of vitamins and chemicals and all kinds of stuff's happening. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Why? Because she is hosting another human being in her to bring into the world. It's absolutely awesome. I had to put that in. I survived an abortion on Christmas Eve, 1957. So I just wanted to insert that for the pro-life people. Listen, if you're pregnant today, don't abort the baby. Find a church that will help you through that. Find a church that will pay for your pregnancy. Find a church that will take care of that baby. And find a church that might even get that baby's college career or life savings account started up. That's what we do back home. When we tell a woman not to have an abortion, we have to follow through with a major commitment. That's called Christian love, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to do that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, 1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. That's a promise. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Stick to the Bible, folks. You won't be led astray. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willfully ignorant or forget. Don't get in the attitude of saying, well, here's the plans we're going to make. We'll commit them to the Lord, but we know this, he could come back at any time, so let's keep a light touch on it all. Are you hearing me? This is how we ought to live life. Are you guys okay? You're very quiet. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, now, today, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's, okay, did you get that? In the last days, deceiving spirits are going to be teaching people, and demonic doctrine is going to be propagated among people. This is Bible. So listen. Doctrines of demons and doctrines of spirits, evil spirits, it's happening right now. I used to think it was confined to church, like a really bad sermon, or that guy's way off, or this is a cult, that's crazy. I've broadened my horizon. When your kid goes to school, I'm gonna give this to you verbatim. Are you ready? Listen, mom and grandpa, you don't know this is what happens. Ask your grandkids or ask your kids. Hey Johnny, let me ask you a question in this class right now. Okay, this is real. How old are you? Nine. Have you ever thought what it would be like if you kissed a boy, Johnny? No? Think about it. Is there any young lady in here today in class and she's wondered what it's like to touch another girl? Oh, you over there, what's your name? Annie? Annie, that's because you're a lesbian. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving you verbatim of what I'm having to deal with in California. And if you think it's only in California, you need to get woked up to the truth and find out that when you wake up, it's happening in your school too. When's the last time you checked your school curriculum and your school library? You ought to take a field trip. I went to one of the most conservative cities in California, my own, Chino Hills. And I found it in Chino Hills Library, City Library. But featured on the stand when you walked right through, there was a book there, and it had a blue suit, red tie, and Trump-styled hair, and it was a pig in the Oval Office. And it said, when a pig becomes a president. And all it did was tear down President Trump. You say, well, who cares about politics? I don't get involved in politics. Let me tell you, when your kid is being told that they could be a boy or a girl when they're not a boy or a girl, that is doctrines of demons being played out in the political realm. Wake up. It's not about politics. It's about truth and lie. It's about light and darkness. It's about good and evil. And evil doesn't walk up and say, here I am. Hi, I'm evil. Are you kidding? It knocks at your door and it's beautiful smile, great cologne, or great perfume. Sounds brilliant. Winsome, loving. Wow, this is great. That's how evil shows up. You think Satan just bowled over Eve and held her down and grabbed her arm and said, eat this. No, there was something about the serpent that he possessed where she thought it was no big deal. Think about it. The snake is talking to her. I don't know about you, man. If a snake starts talking to me, I'm out of here. She didn't see anything wrong with it. Maybe all the animals talked. Of course, all dogs talk and can still talk. We need to learn dog talk. A snake? The Bible says that the snake was more cunning. It insinuates that it was so beautiful. It was like mesmerizing. And Satan possessed that and spoke through it. Don't you think Satan's out in the business of deceiving? He's doing it now more than ever, folks. He's not restricted to a garden now. He's all over the world. And he's in our communities. And he needs to be exposed. We'll keep moving now. Number five is this. Can you believe it? We can shine like beacons in that dark. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. What a great verse. Wow. I'm starting to see how that day will not overtake me as a thief. You see? Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is about the second coming. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, evangelism, like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that great? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus echoes the same. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, you guys all know what salt does, right? Makes food taste better. It preserves food. It also cleanses a wound and it prevents putrefaction. And it stings really bad when you get it in your eyes or in a cut. How shall it be reseasoned is the real word. How can it be reseasoned again? Well, it can't. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, now he tells us this. You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. I love this. Every kid in Sunday school knows this, but do we know this? Let your light so shine. The word in Greek means let it go. Release it. You're burning for Jesus. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit wants to be a torch in your life. That's why it says, let your light so shine. Don't hold it back. Listen, far too many of us are like this. You know it. You're feeling it right now. You're sensing it today that God wants to do a work in your life, but you've got 1,000 excuses on why God can't use you. I can never do that. I will be embarrassed. My friends will think I'm crazy. All these reasons. What will my husband think? What will my wife think? Listen, the fear of man is a snare. Let your light so shine. And he says that when we let our light so shine, he announces to us that as our light shines, that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Number 6, can you believe it? We can watch, and that is any day now. That should be, we should wear t-shirts any day now. As we remind each other, hey, you were at that conference that Saturday? We should have had the any day now t-shirts. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's awesome. Be alert. Matthew 25, 13 says, watch therefore, for you neither know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We're to be ready. Excuse me. Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Church family, I'm going to submit to you before we move into point number 7 is this. We've got all of this bizarre stuff taking place. The explosion of technology, which is good and bad. We've got all of these things. You guys, I don't want to, I'm limited on time. But I got to tell you, I went to Congress. I went into the chairman of a subcommittee who has been commissioned by the U.S. government with his team to find out what in the world is going on over the last 8 years in the atmosphere. You say, wait, what? The guy asked me, will you meet with me? I said, yes, sir. And I went, and he said, he dismissed his aide, we're all alone, and he said, I'm leading up this thing that's all over TV and all this stuff that's going on, and I need to ask you something. I've been a Baptist boy all my life. The stuff that we have seen, the classified things that we've touched, we were told by those U.S. Air Force personnel that none of these materials match anything that's on this planet, that they're from another world. Pastor, I'm asking you right now, do you believe in travelers from other parts of galaxies somewhere? I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, all right. What do you believe? I said, I believe these are demonic manifestations to deceive in the last days. He said, but how do you explain the material stuff? He said, Pastor, I held something that no man knows what it is. And I said, all I can answer you, sir, is this. When Moses confronted Pharaoh, Pharaoh's magicians were able to produce snakes. That wasn't Satan, it was demonic powers. And you know what he said? He said, that's exactly what I've been reading in my Bible and thinking about and praying about, but I didn't have an answer. I listened to your messages. I had to hear it right out of your mouth. He said, it's demonic activity that is absolutely invading not only just America, it's the world. And he said, it's deceiving people. Church family, you need to wake up to this reality. How deceptive can demons be? How deceptive are we going to... Oh, look. Books are written now. Jesus was an alien. It all makes sense. He came from another world. He's the son of the gods. That's deception, people. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be very, very careful. What number was I on? You taking notes? I heard 6 and I heard 7. Are we going to 7? No, we're going to 7. I'm not going to ask again. It's number 7. We can stand while others fall. It's not a loving statement, but it's a fact. Verse 7 says, for those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. They're just out of touch with spiritual reality. They pulled Jesus out for 55 minutes on a Sunday, put him back in the box. See you next week. Listen, you can't do that. You got to stand. The Holy Spirit will make you stand at a time like this. We're about ready to leave. Think about it. Have you ever been near death or think you're near death? What's the number one thing? I bumped into, I was down the street yesterday and minding my own business. I'm thinking, nobody knows me here. This is awesome. And I didn't even shower. I'm just telling you, I hadn't showered. And it's like, man, this is awesome. And I went to Chipotle, because it's from California, I think. Anyway, and this guy says, Pastor Jeff? And I honestly went, I tried to blow him off like, huh? That's what I did. He goes, Pastor Jack, and I went, huh? And then he goes like this. He pulls out his phone. He goes, it's you. His name was Anthony, super sweet guy. And you know what Anthony proceeded to tell me? He said, ever since during COVID, I felt as though God was calling me to go to a church that taught Bible prophecy. And he said, I finally found a church, and he said, I'm growing so much, my family's growing. He said, I just wanted to let you know that. I go, Anthony, that's awesome. We prayed right in the store. It's awesome. And listen, we don't have to fall like others are falling. People give up, people quit. But why do that? Don't quit, my friend. Don't give up. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Think of this as a booster shot. Oh, wait, I'll take that back. That sounded Fauci, huh? As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, I should not have said booster shot. Take a booster shot. Take 10 of them. Boy, there's some words ruined for you. Booster shot, expert. I don't want to hear any of those words anymore. All right, this is an awesome verse. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God will hold you. He will hold you. Number 8, can you believe it? We can fight against the powers that be. We're commanded to do so. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Man, that's bold stuff. Think about that. Time doesn't allow me, but write down Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, or if you did the QR code, you already have it on your notes, where Paul says, this is the armament. This is the weaponry, and this is the defense of the believer, the armament of the Christian. It's time for us to stand up and war up. Our children are in the targets of Satan. He goes after the innocent. He goes after the defenseless. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, speak up for those who cannot defend themselves. God puts that on us. And don't take your opportunity to shine the light and bury it under a bushel saying, well, I'm just going to hide it because I'm fearful or intimidated, and I'll just wait till Jesus comes back. Have you read your Bible? The Bible says if you have an opportunity given to you by God, and every believer does, certainly one opportunity, I think millions of them, and you bury it, I think that's the reason why he wipes tears away from our eyes at the opening of eternity for us in heaven. I think why would we weep in heaven? Have you ever asked the question to yourself? Why would we cry? When we get there, we're going to cry with tears. Why? Because we're so glad to be. That's later. When we show up, it's the judgment seat of Christ for the believer. Heaven and hell is not being debated. We're in. But every single one of us who named the name of Christ will be judged for our faithfulness. And I think when he shows us what he wanted us to be faithful to, but we played the chicken and we wimped out. When God told you in the food line, in the grocery store line, tell that person right there, I love them. Tell them you're going to pray for them. Go over to that person right there and you go, I'll pray about it. You don't need to pray about that. Think about that. You know what? I'm going to put you, listen, next time you hear God tug your heart to go tell that person, just go do it. Watch what happens. I have never once, in all my years of being a Christian, never once have I had somebody say, I don't need you to pray for me. Every single time the person has said, yeah, please. Yeah, okay, pray for me. Think about that. Number 9, we can invite others to come. Verse 9 says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Good for you. Good for you. Good for me. Good for us. What about the people outside this convention center? What about our wives or our husbands, or our children, our daughters, our sons? What about our coworkers? What about our neighbors? The Bible tells us that we need to get out there and tell people. Do we really believe he's coming back? Well, if we believe he's coming back, then that is the catalyst. That's the accelerant in our tank. Number 10, I'm almost done. Number 10, we can live boldly in the truth. Oh my goodness. He who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Did you know? Did you know that we live together with him right now? Did you know that if somebody took us out right now, if somebody came in here with scimitars or swords or machine guns, did you know that if you're a Christian, Jesus said, if a man or a woman dies believing in me, yet they live. You say, well, that's kind of scary to talk about like that. Listen, it happens in North Africa every Sunday. Did you know that Christians are dying by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands in 2024? In Sudan alone for being a Christian. Guess what? They didn't die. Only their body died. Do you have cancer? Do you have some disease? Only your body has it. Your soul's not sick. Are you a Christian and you've got cancer? Your body's got cancer. Let's be clear here. Your spirit's not sick. Your spirit doesn't get cancer. When you and I leave this world, it's because I believe that the inside has outgrown the outside. God knows the exact moment you and I are supposed to leave. We can live boldly. And then number 11, and we end with this. We can raise up others. We can pick them up. Everybody we meet, we're going to heaven. I don't think we should keep that a secret. Verse 11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. We need to start talking to one another. Edifying each other. You know what the word edify? Look, not far from us is Universal Studios. And when you, for some of you might remember this. When you take the tour, you see homes and it's like, hey, there's the Father Knows Best house. Hey, there's Leave It to Beaver's house. Hey, there's the house from, what's the crazy thing? Psycho House. There's all these homes. There's all these houses. Oh, I recognize that house. Did you know that they're fake? We got the privilege of taking a walking tour. We got to go in those houses. It's awesome. You would die to have a house like that. And then you walk through the door, and it's all a bunch of 2x4s. It doesn't even have a roof on it. It's fake. It had a big edifice, but there's nothing behind it. When we edify each other, listen, we have our face, we have our presentation. But we're supposed to love on each other enough to make sure that we build each other up on the inside enough. Christians, we need to start getting each other's business for the good. We need to start asking one another, instead of being isolationist, hey, how can I pray for you? Men, start actually talking with one another and get a men's group going that can be trusted and wise. Women, do the same. We should gather together more and more as we see the day approaching. It's an amazing time to be alive. I have to end with this. I'm out of time. It's this. So the other day, God gave me an illustration to give you guys, and it is this. My check oil light came on the car. Now, what do you do when the check oil light comes on? It's a red light. I'm thinking it's pretty important if it's red. Check engine oil. Listen, the oil's either worn out, low, check your oil. So I do what we do where I'm from. We take it to Jiffy Lube. And they change the oil, and then the light's gone. Isn't the oil a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? Didn't Jesus say that when he comes back, your lamps need to be burning? You need to make sure you got oil. How do you do that? Get alone with God every day. Get alone with God every day. And listen, seriously. So January 1st, on my social media, I started meeting with people all around the world in a five-minute prayer meeting. It's supposed to be 5 minutes. It's more like 8 minutes. 5 a.m. Pacific time, and there's 280,000 people praying, and they're leaving their prayer requests, and people all around the world are praying for these prayer requests. And we're going to do it the whole year, every day. And somebody came up to me and said, why are you doing that? It's going to kill you. And I said, no, you don't understand. And this is between us. Don't share this with anybody. Because I have insomnia, I got tired. I'm just tired of having it this way. I'm not going to let it rule my life anymore. I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. Pacific time, no matter what. If I go to bed at 3, I'm going to wake up at 4. I am not going to succumb to this anymore. I'm putting my foot down. Trusting, Lord, you're in this. And so I get up at 4, and then at 5 a.m., I go live like we did a moment ago with you guys. And somebody said, why are you doing that? Number one is I have to fight my bodily temptation to take it easy. Number two is I need to discipline my body like Paul said he did. And so by making a commitment to meet with people at 5, we not only create a prayer group that's ministering to each other, do you understand? I'm now bound to it. You say, well, that's kind of weird. No, it's not. I'm beating my body into submission to Christ. Does that make sense? And so I'm asking you, God wants to do radical things with you guys. Is he not showing you right now in this conference? He wants to do tremendous things, you guys. And where are you being it? What role will you play? He's asking you. So check the oil level, the Holy Spirit level of your heart. Talk with him. Read the scriptures. Let them jump off the page at you. Don't leave your chair or your spot without hearing from him. God will bless you. He'll spoil you with his kindness, and he'll overwhelm you with his generosity and his affection. If he wasn't that kind of a God, I'd go get a different one. Thank God he is. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much.